We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
More memories are made when you're there for live NFL action. And when you need tickets, Ticketmaster's got you covered. As the official marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster gives you more ways to find your perfect seat. Their interactive seat map gives you 360-degree previews of your section to make sure you have the best view of those pivotal plays. And if your plans change, Ticketmaster gives you more flexibility to sell or transfer your tickets. Plus, mobile tickets make getting in on game day a breeze, and you can even customize your Ticketmaster app to rep your team's colors. Find tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NFL.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Gilcast. I am Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. We are going to recap our cash game teams on DraftKings.com. And I just would actually prefer not to. I would actually, my team, I lost this week. I actually got back about 40%, which is shocking because I don't deserve it. Guys, you know, sometimes when you play bad and you just know you played bad immediately and you're just praying that the fantasy gods will smile on you. I didn't even pray for the fantasy gods to smile on me because I just played that bad. It was unbelievably brutal.
I can't wait for you to tell the people what you did, man.
I'm gonna make them wait for it. I'm gonna make them wait until like 10 minutes into the show before
it's
we get
there. It's unreal. It looks like one of those teams that Davis like flopped on halfway through, but like the reality was he didn't. Like this was just a bad team from the get.
Davis, this is everybody's favorite program. This is the one where, you know, Nate just crows his way into a victory and Davis gacks it and just has like, you know, just the worst performance.
You guys, Nate's team is really good. Nate's team is just straight up good. Probably close to what I'd say was playing optimal. Yep. Sammy, your team was weird for sure, but not in a way that I can really criticize. And my team was 1v1, the literal cash line. Nate, we looked this up right before we started. My team is 1v1, the literal last cashing team in the massive $50 double up. But I'm not going to tell. Okay. They got to keep listening.
We call it a teaser to hear what Davis actually.
I think I know what the 1v1
is. You know what it is. You know what it is.
You're just being fancy for no reason.
And it's terrible. Okay, so Nate scores 183.82 points. This is interesting. This almost never happens. We all played a different quarterback. Nate played the right one. Sammy played a guy who was fine, I think, but got injured. And I played the wrong one. And I played Patrick Mahomes. Nate played Jalen Hurts. And Sammy played Anthony Richardson. This is why Mahomes was the wrong one. Just these fucking chucklehead wide receivers in Kansas City. You can just see it. Mahomes will be literally he'll be in the pocket and he will be pointing at them to go to the right place on the field so that he could throw them a touchdown, and they can't do it.
You got to know ball, Davis. You got to know ball.
Oh, my ball knowledge is at zero this week. I mean, the degree I got one, the only thing I got right was playing Ja'Marr Chase. And the field was not super enthused on that. That's the only thing I got right.
That was the easiest thing of the week.
Which is crazy that the field didn't play
Ja'Marr. It should have been the easiest thing of the week, but it was not. He was not even amongst the 10 most owned players in the massive $50 double up.
My God, there is still an edge, boys.
I believe he was only slightly more owned this week than he was last week. I think this week in the massive $50 double up, he was 35%. And last week, he was like 23 or 24% in the massive $50 double up. But I actually think, Nate, very rarely do I tell you that you know ball, because most of the time, I just think you get really lucky. But you were totally right to play Jalen Hurts instead of Patrick Mahomes, and I was wrong. He does not have quite as good of a floor. Like, Mahomes is going to get 15 in like literally every game. But I think this version of their teams, he has the far better ceiling.
See, yeah. I don't know if I'd agree with that, man. Like, Hurts has all the rushing equity, and because he's like
supposed
alpha goal line back, like, for sure he's got such a high floor.
And I actually think his floor in this version of the Eagles team is better than it was in years past. In years past, all of a sudden they could be up three scores and he would need to only, he could get by with 100 yards passing and not need to run, where he's going to be in games this whole year. And so I actually think his floor and his ceiling is higher than Mahomes in their current iteration.
Also, yeah. He has actual weapons instead of a bunch of B-League CFL players and dust ass Travis Kelce. I mean, he's got actual players.
Yeah, makes a real difference. Sammy, I saw this Anthony Richardson team floating around in all these discords and everything.
Not this team.
But I did see Anthony Richardson teams floating around. Not that I thought it was bad or anything, but I just was like, well, it's $1,000 more to get to Mahomes and Hurts. Like, why wouldn't I just do that?
But I mean, Anthony Richardson essentially is Jalen Hurts. So what are we?
Well, your lineup really didn't have a single cent to spare.
Yeah,
it did not. Yeah, I didn't have any.
Okay,
let's walk through the lineups.
Yeah, Nate scores 183.82. The Whirling Dervish scores 166.82. I scored 145.04. I'll give you guys, can see how bad this is. I played Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, David Montgomery, Devin Achane at running back. I played Ja'Marr Chase, Khalif Raymond, Wandale Robinson, Justin Jefferson. All owned plays, all fine. Jefferson, maybe we'll talk about a little bit. Jefferson versus Tyreek. The Titans defense, they were the giga chalk. I thought they were fine. But the thing that I did that is just out of this world stupid.
Oh yeah.
I thought that I knew ball. And instead of playing Jonnu Smith like everyone else as a $3,000 tight end, I played, wait for it, Herb Smith Jr. for the Cincinnati Bengals. I played Herb Smith Jr.
What? Talk me through this. Because
it actually sometimes
end up with like a weird train team that like some of these high stakes sharps have, but your team wasn't duped like barely at all. There was like three people on that. I don't think anyone would dupe Irv Smith Jr.
So the thought was pretty simple. I liked the Bengals passing offense against Arizona. Thought they'd pass for a lot of yards. They did. T. Higgins missed this contest. And another one of their wide receivers, I forget his name, but one of the guys who's been running around, Charlie Jones, is injured. And then they had to call up another guy to the practice squad. Irv Smith Jr. came back to practice this week, you know, removed from the injury report, yada, yada, all this stuff. Basically just being like, I don't really. Oh, and a lot of people played Tyler Boyd, and I was not in on Tyler Boyd at all. So I was like, it's basically Irv Smith Jr. and Tyler Boyd are the same guy. Turns out they're not. Because all Irv Smith Jr. did in this game, and I was watching with great interest in that game, because I was like, is he out there at least? At least in my, for my sake, he was out there. But he was Chris Hogan, you know? I mean, he was wind sprinting his behind off. He didn't do, I think he got a target. He also got held on an end zone target where he maybe could have gotten there, and I would have felt some real vindication.
Burrow only had eyes for Chase.
In the end, this is terrible. And it's terrible not in the way, like, people were telling me that I was bad for playing Kincaid instead of playing, you know, like, these dust balls like Durham Smythe and Zach Ertz. And I don't think that's true. But it is bad to play someone like Irv Smith Jr. that you can't even tell yourself a story about them having ceiling or the team wanting to give him a role or anything like that. It really was just like 2015 DFS logic of, okay, if this team has 35 targets available, you subtract a guy getting 8 of them and then just evenly distribute those targets amongst the remaining guys who will be on the field. And that makes someone like Irv Smith Jr. playable, which is not how football works, because targets are earned and Irv Smith Jr. ain't earning no fucking targets, you know.
Jesus, tell me the ownership. I gotta hear the ownership on
it's gotta be less than 5.
It's less than 1,
buddy. In the massive $55 double up, Irv Smith Jr. was 0.66% owned.
and three people who uploaded the wrong CSV.
Well, this is the real dagger. So I go to click on the massive $50 double up to get ready to do this show so I can just, you know, have the percentages up and stuff. I'm like, okay, let me go look at the last team on the cash line. But if I would have just played the right team, would I have gotten there? Click on the very last team. It's just straight up my team. 1v1 Jonnu Smith versus Irv Smith Jr. I mean, just the blade of blades. Just you really, really hate to see it. It's actually, I think. Okay, do you remember that Dust Bowl Titans or Commanders wide receiver? Like, this is like 5-6 years ago, where I played Diami this guy
Brown?
Like, no, way before Diami Brown. I mean, we're talking like 2017, 2018. I'm trying to think of the worst play in Gilcast history, and I think this might be it. It might have been like the fourth time Sammy played Ross Dwelly, but also maybe this. I mean, this is just it's terrible.
This one's so bad is because the field made so many mistakes this week. At this ownership and you look at what Chase did and the edge that is still there that exists in DFS, and you aren't able to take any action on it because you play nerds.
Because I just made like the rest of my lineup, I think I systemically avoided some other mistakes. Like I played Chase instead of Bijan, and I played Justin Jefferson.
This beautiful game blesses us with like 17 weeks a year, and you'd waste one of them with Irv Smith.
With Irv Smith.
Like, Jesus H. Christ. Davis, all you had to do was like play Tyreek, and then you would have had the money for Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had
Sammy,
if you
talk
had
to a... me about Sammy, talk to me about Tyreek, because I thought Tyreek was pretty clearly.
Oh, read off your team, Sammy. Read off your
team.
Oh,
buddy. All right. Here we go, fellas. So I faded Laporta. I faded Devin Achane. And my quarterback got hurt in the first quarter or whatever and put up 4 points. And my team still got there because it was the all motherfucking alpha team. Listen to this shit. I'm up late last night. I watched this movie. It was like midnight. Everyone's asleep. And then this epiphany came to me. And I said, I have fucking got it. And this is the lineup. So I played A. Rich. And then I decided. So David Montgomery was, to me, the lock of locks. Like, I was not building a lineup without David Montgomery. You guys agree. He was just in like the all-time great spot with Jahmyr Gibbs out. He ran terribly to only get 24.
Yeah, he should have had like 40.
Yeah, like I mean, literally, they were on the 1 yard line two other times, and he did. And once Goff ran it in, once they threw a touchdown, and then Craig Reynolds came in at the end of the game and had like 50 and a touch. Like, Montgomery could have had like 40 in this game, man. So, anyways, I played Richardson at quarterback. I went Bijan and DeMont at running back, and I decided, you know what? I don't need to play four or three running backs in this lineup. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play Chase and Tyreek Hill, and I'm going to have Bijan in there. I'm going to do it all. And it was just like alpha status. So all I needed to do was play Tyreek and Chase And then I used the two punt receivers, Raymond and Wandale Robinson. I went down as to Ertz at tight end. And then I said, you know what? DST's a crapshoot, man. I'm just going to play the Giants. Like, I only have 2K left. So I played the Giants. Giants return a touchdown. They have another pick. They score 12 points. Easy game. I just put all the alphas in my lineup. And I won. That's how you do DFS these days. That's how it is.
I mean, yeah, well, you won two reasons. You won because Tyreek 1v1 Justin Jefferson by 30. And yep. Because Jamar Chase was only, 50 or 35% under whatever.
I mean,
ultimately, everybody should have won just because you played Jamar Chase. Like, would have had to swap
off. Well, you'd think.
But, Sammy, like, I genuinely don't think Tyreek in cash this week was optimal. I thought Tyreek was pretty clearly the third of J-Jeff, of Chase, of Tyreek. I thought it was J-Jeff number one. Tyreek or Chase number two, and then Tyreek, like value per dollar. And
fair. And let me tell you, I preferred J-Jeff to Tyreek straight up. So I would have done that if I had 400 extra bucks. Clearly I played a 2K DST to make this lineup work. So like, to me, it was, you know, I think the big thing was when I realized I didn't need to play A-Chain.
Then yeah, I think this was like the holy war in the DFS streets this week. I gotta tell you, I think not playing A-Chain's pretty fucking terrible to me, let me tell you.
About 45 minutes into the slate, it was not looking good. Laporta scored two touchdowns. Yeah. A-Chain has three rushes for 100 yards and a touchdown, and A-Rich is already hurt. And I'm like, I'm dead. Like, you texted me like, good night, Sammy.
Yeah. I thought you were done. I thought you were done because I thought if you didn't play A-Chain, the only reason you could get away with fading A-Chain would be if you played Mixon and Mixon smashed in the late night. But you got lucky. I mean, you faded A-Chain and still made it.
I mean, here's the thing. I realize that A-Chain is the second coming of Jamal Charles. I get it. Like, I really get it. But at the end of the day, Nate, I'm surprised you're saying this. A-Chain had 11 rushes and one target.
Yeah, oh, I know. That's
you
why
don't
I
need
said,
to play
if
it.
If you faded A-Chain for Mixon, I think that was okay. Mixon, I thought was
I think
terrible.
It's okay. Let me make this argument, and no one's gonna agree with this because people are so entrenched on their A-Chain, you know, position. Like, arguing about Devon A-Chain is like arguing about Israeli and Palestinian relations at this point. It's just like you just can't even go there with people. But guess what? If Devon A-Chain was not averaging a bazillion yards per carry, he would also be getting 19 carries per game. It's just when you cover 50 yards of ground every time we make this argument all the time about expected fantasy points, that Joe Mixon always has a gazillion expected fantasy points because did you guys see the sequence? He got stuffed at the 1 yard line four times. They ran it first, second, third, and fourth down, and he didn't get it.
Because he's fat and bad. He wishes he was as good as David Montgomery. That's the thing about Joe Mixon.
A-Chain is clearly playing ahead of Mostert. He fumbled and they went right back to him. Literally next snap, next play. Devon A-Chain is the lead running back for the best offense in football. Sure, he is giving some work to Raheem Mostert. You could even argue he's giving roughly.
They're splitting it, man. I think 11 to 10 carries, Mostert, 2-1 targets.
Mostert got four carries on the last drive. He got four carries on the last drive.
The reason I think Mixon is a comparable play is because Mixon just has a much wider, like, his range of outcomes. There's so many more, like, if game script doesn't go his way, he's still in, where there's so many ways that A-Chain just does with his seven touch. Like, he could get a game where there's seven touches and he goes seven touches for 46 yards.
Right. And
that's
the other thing,
incredible efficiency, but because he isn't a factor in everything that they're doing offensively, he doesn't have the same floor that Mixon does. And so I do think.
Correct. And the other thing was, we weren't quite sure what Devon A-Chain's usage would look like in a game where they were comfortably ahead. Right. We weren't quite sure about this. And
but
so
I just thought those, like, at running back 61, like, that was where you wanted to spend your salary, because outside of J-Jeff and Chase, those three running backs were the best plays.
The mid-tier wide receivers, like, a lot of people played Hollywood Brown and Tyler Boyd. I was not into either of those guys at all.
I was into Brown and not Boyd. And the reason I wasn't into Boyd is You can't just say, oh, T. Higgins is out, Boyd's going to get a lot more targets. It's like they play different positions. They are not the same. You know what I mean? Like what's going to happen is exactly what happened is low T. Higgins is out. And all of a sudden it's like, well, let's just give the ball to like the most dynamic playmaker in the league a whole lot. Like, let's not waste these jump balls to T. Higgins on third and five. Let's just like feed Ja'Marr Chase. And they fed him. They fed his ass. And we got paid for it. And I can't believe 2/3 of the people did not play him. I thought when I really like sat down and like thought about this, I thought he was the best play on the slate.
I mean, thought the three must plays in cash games were Montgomery, A-Chain, and Chase. And Wandale, actually.
I'm not putting A-Chain in that list. I'm not putting A-Chain.
I'm not either. And I thought A-Chain was a very good play. But I'll tell you, it was really liberating to be like, you know what? I don't have to play A-Chain. I don't have to. Like,
again, I'm not saying it was A-Chain. I'm saying that 6K running back spot between Mixon or A-Chain, because a lot of sharp people played Mixon over A-Chain.
And but a lot of people played Breece Hall, too.
Breece, I think, was also thin.
No, Breece is a similar play. Breece, I thought, was an alpha play, actually. Not really that dissimilar of a play to A-Chain, actually, where you're betting
thin. Like you're betting on efficiency and you're hoping that the volume is there.
I think the Breece is bet is more thin just because like the Jets just not being able to generate any first.
Yeah, a lot of systemic risk with Breece.
Absolutely.
And the other thing about Breece is everyone was on this quote, right? Of there's no limitations on him, etc. Yeah. But if you read like the entire quote, that's not really what he was saying. He wasn't saying, oh, now we're gonna take the wheels off. Now he's ready for, you know, full-time backage, but that's not what the quote said. But in the end, like, that's kind of what he got today. Like, he was fed pretty hard.
Yeah, but again, I think a lot of people just took a quote out of context and they were projecting their own desires, you know, versus taking, like, so I don't know. I thought the other position that was interesting this week was the cheap wide receiver discussion. I was not as high in Wandale as you were, Davis. You were in chat saying, like, if you don't play Wandale, like, you deserve to lose.
He got 8 touches for 3K. I just, like, sure, the efficiency was shit. I just think you're bad if you're not playing.
He got exactly what you were expecting. Like, his floor was exactly what you were expecting. A Daniel Jones meltdown, like Giants meltdown, and him getting 6 targets behind the line of scrimmage is not a jam him in. Like,
well, he also got a concussy before garbage time. I mean, you gotta give him like 4 more points on that garbage time Tyrod Taylor drive.
The thing that was really good about him is that, like, for 3K, a lot of the times you're playing in these really fragile situations where the guy has a legitimate chance of getting zero.
Of like not playing.
Yeah. And I thought that Marvin Wandale. Yeah, Wandale was a lot different than that. Wandale was gonna get like 5 plus targets.
He got 5 targets and 11 snaps in his first game 2 weeks ago. Like, it just, the ceiling's not really there. And I mean, I'm going to have to eat it because I'm like a Wandale believer and I played him in tournaments, which was bad.
Yeah, but I just thought Khalif was a better play. If I only got one of those value wide receivers, I would have taken Khalif.
I don't think so at all.
I would not have done that because Khalif stinks. I mean, he's
and the other thing, so A, Khalif stinks, and then B, Khalif had a lot more systemic risk, right? They were huge.
Not systemic risk. He had big volume risk where they could have thrown the ball 19 times in this game.
Absolutely. They could be up and stop throwing the ball. And then they also like legitimately
only throw 28 times.
Yeah. And then they could just like go Laporta and just smash the hell out of it with Montgomery. You know what I mean? And then some Reynolds. Like, they didn't necessarily have to be, oh gosh, you know, our guy's out. Like, wow, we really need Khalif Raymond in this game. Like that.
A don't know ball take and don't understand that Jared Goff is the quarterback and where Jared Goff looks across the field. Like, Khalif Raymond
is where Laporta runs. Yeah.
And
that's why Laporta was such a good play.
You Fish decided to fade the tight end lock. Because...
No, I thought Laporta was a very good play, but I just liked the way that lineups with a 3K tight end looked. Just imagine.
Same. I was very afraid of Laporta giving me the blade. Yeah, I said it before lock. I was like,
yeah.
The Laporta A-Chain 2v2 versus what were other people doing? Like Tyreek and.
No, here, I can go look at this. Here,
and here in the end, Khalif Raymond got 3 targets. Laporta got 4 targets. Like, let's not, you know what I mean? Like, and this was entirely entirely completely foreseen.
Nate, a team that a lot of people played was Hollywood Brown and Kelsey versus Bijan and Laporta. And I mean, I didn't like any of those. I just, you guys both played Bijan. I mean, I know.
Bijan ran real bad here.
I have no way to criticize
I should have smashed you by even more. Like, literally, Bijan, I think this was like his floor game.
Well, Nate, Justin Jefferson got 5 points. So I'm not really taking that criticism on board. I'm just not like, congratulations to you. Justin Jefferson got 5 points. I think it's actually the worst game of his career. I think if you go 5.5 DK points is almost got to be the worst. And in a game that Kirk Cousins threw the ball 48 times, Justin Jefferson coming in with a hot five.
In the dome.
In the dome. I mean, that game, it was like a lot of near misses. There were a lot of flags, a lot of penalties, whatever.
I'm not going to dunk on you for playing Justin Jefferson. I thought Justin Jefferson was obviously the number one.
The only thing I do wonder if finding a different quarterback other than the 8K stuff, because it was like I get there just was no mid-tier wide receiver to play, I guess, is why the things were so weird this week.
I disagree. I thought Brown was good, and I thought DeAndre Hopkins was good. And this isn't
being Hopkins. I looked at a team where Hopkins was in the flex, and you were like, bro, just play Hopkins. And I was like, I don't know.
Dude, I know he's dusty, but like 140 yards. I mean, Prize Picks, only 55.5 yards, Nate. It was the easiest bink I've ever had, DeAndre Hopkins. He was just like so easy, so good. But the real thing is, you know, you don't necessarily have to like have that construction. You know what I mean? Like spending $8K on a quarterback on this slate, I personally didn't think was right. Like I was ready to play Josh Dobbs.
I don't really think it was either. Well, I mean, I do.
I mean, I got it, and I got the tight end play of the week. Like
I think was the play. There's a lot of the reasons why people showed up in cash with Anthony Richardson. I heard multiple people say this, that it was a week where there were 500 teams within like 3 points of each other. And it was a hard week to choose. Because there were so many guys that 77, like it was like Kelsey, Bijan, Chase, you know, and then deciding between Jefferson and Tyreek, like that was just a difficult spot to figure out.
Yeah, and Nate, I don't think I really answered your question earlier about playing Tyreek Hill, because I did think Justin Jefferson in a vacuum was better, but like Tyreek's an alpha. Like he's just a straight up alpha.
Nate, I mean, Sammy.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson is also an alpha.
He is. I would have played him if I had $400. I didn't, but what I wanted to do was have two alpha wide receivers and Bijan and Montgomery, and like I got it all. You know what I mean? But Bijan ran bad. I mean, fucking Arthur Smith, man. Like, Algier out-carries him again? I mean, unbelievable. How did he only have 46 yards against the Texans? I don't understand how this happened. I really thought it was Bijan week. I was all in on it. I'm pretty bitterly disappointed in this outcome.
I've got the Bijan play is totally fine. I got nothing, you know. I think it is completely fine. I played bad. You know, I'm just a dumb big fucking Mongo.
Yeah, dude, you have gills and scales, man. I can't believe you played Irv Smith Jr. today.
Irv Smith Jr. That is some legendary gill casting right there. All right, let's do tournament teams. I just had a bad. I mean, I don't know if I had a bad read this week. I feel happy about a lot of the percentages and stuff, but a lot of my stuff was built around Minnesota, Kansas City, and that game went under, and it went under in a way where you were spending a lot of money on guys who went under. So this is a team I played in the red zone. Patrick Mahomes at 12%, stacked him with Rashee Rice at 18%, Travis Kelce at 20%, and Jordan Addison as a bring back of 5%, which I really liked. Thought that was sharp. He obviously, I think, was a beneficiary of Jefferson not having that good of a game. The running backs I played, DeAndre Swift, Raheem Mostert, and Bijan Robinson. I actually had Puka Nacua in flex in this lineup for like all week, and then swapped it when they were like, there's no limitations on Cooper Kupp, because I'm a dipshit. which is like that report made Nacua a better play. I'm just stupid. It's just yeah. Actually, I think why I did it in this lineup was that I didn't have Bijan in cash, and so I wanted to have a little bit of Bijan exposure, and this was just a straight up 1v1 to get it. The only interesting thing talking about this lineup, it's not a very good one, is the Mostert versus A-Chain thing. I wonder if you guys did this where you played Mostert in tournaments and you were like, I'm such a genius. Everyone's playing Devin A-Chain and his efficiency. But actually, I thought what was going to happen was that the cards were going to turn over and A-Chain was going to end up being like 14% in the spy and Mostert was going to be like 21% because everyone leveled themselves.
Everyone had that thought.
Yeah. Which I think is interesting because there the depending on which projection site and which sim stuff you were looking at, you were getting different stuff based on Mostert and A-Chain based on whose inputs you were using. Gotta shout out our friends at ETR who were pumping A-Chain pretty good, understanding his range of outcomes. But what did you guys make of A-Chain and Mostert? And then Sammy, you can go next.
Yeah, I thought I didn't do it, but I told you guys like via text earlier in the day, I thought Mostert was like a very alpha GPP play just because those range of outcomes. I thought, you know, recency bias and this and that, you know, and you're counting on massive efficiency for our boy, you know, A-Chain. And, you know, that's
yeah. Anytime
I didn't do it, but
anytime there's a cash play like that, that you think is maybe thin from an efficiency standpoint, if in tournaments you can get leverage off of that ownership, and it's not just like a fading, it's actually leverage. It's direct leverage over a higher owned play. So like if the efficiency doesn't go A-Chain's way, you're going to get that with Mostert. And yeah, I thought it was a sharp play. It didn't work out. Obviously A-Chain smashed, but yeah, I thought it was sharp.
Yeah.
Sammy, what did you build in tournament?
Okay, so I'll go over this lineup. I didn't love it, but it incorporated like a lot of things I wanted to do. This one was in the red zone, and I played a Dobbs, Marquise Brown, and Earth stack with Chase coming back. And then I had Bijan and Montgomery in this lineup. And I had a Bijan Nico Collins mini correlation. So I was hoping that would really soar. It did not. And let's see what else. I had Breece Hall in the flex in this lineup, so he ended up smashing. And then I had 3,100 left for my DST. And I went back and forth between New England and New Orleans. And I didn't know which one to do. And this one I clicked.
New England.
Fucking New England.
Ah.
So 23.1v1. This lineup actually was cashing. Not for a lot, but it was cashing. And then the Jets DST touchdown at the very end knocked it out. Yeah. So, you know, tough scene, very tough scene. But it was, you know, and frankly, the Dobbs, Ertz, Marquise Brown, actually, they all scored. Both Brown and Ertz caught touchdowns and Chase obviously smashed. But Dobbs really didn't end up with that many points because he is, in fact, bad. So,
yeah, I thought the Dobbs thing was sharp. In tournaments, I played a lot of the Cincinnati Arizona game. That was one of my favorite like games to get exposure to. I thought that was really sharp. So
yeah, they had opportunities to like really pile on garbage time stuff, and they really just did not get it done, which is a very tough scene.
Yeah, it was.
So
it was
that lineup scored 168.04. So it was it had a little chance, but didn't quite get there.
Yeah,
the thing was, and sorry to talk about this shit lineup like for longer than it needs to, but it was really a matter of trying to construct different, not necessarily like pivot off of like the players that people were doing, but like more the construction where it's going to have one or two really of those low price guys, whether it's Rice, whether it's Wandell, whether it's Khalif Raymond, and have a lineup that had like Chase, Nico, Marquise Brown, like get in the middle of that. You know what I mean?
That's like the easiest way to differentiate from the chalk in general is to just do. So if everyone's avoiding the high price running backs, you know, play CMC and Pollard. If everyone is jamming in Chase and Jefferson, you know, play Amon-Ra St. Brown or whatever, just like getting slight, like it is actually because it requires no thought and you don't even have to be that good at picking players. You just kind of need to find, and you can even, and you can do game stacks inside of that too.
Yeah, just play the best plays at like different price points, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, and the other thing was like paying down for quarterback was something that wasn't happening a ton. So I had like another, you know, Daniel Jones stack, you know, obviously that was ass, but you know, like that's kind of the way I approach tournaments this week. And yeah, I'm not rich, by the way.
I don't even know what won tournaments this week. Let's see what won the red zone.
I saw one that either won the red zone or the spy that was a Chase Burrow stack with like
which I thought would be fairly popular. The team that won this red zone that I clicked on, which is the 100K red zone, was a Goff, Josh Reynolds, Laporta team with an Adam Thielen bring back.
Yeah, Thielen
a bunch of chalky pieces: Breece, Bijan, Chase, Hollywood, even Saints D. Saints D was I feel bad for not. I played them on a couple, but in hindsight feels very obvious.
Yeah, winning the red zone with a chalk Bijan hitting his floor is pretty impressive.
Yeah. All right, Nate, bring us home, bud.
So like I was saying, I built a lot around the Cincinnati Arizona game. So this team was in the red zone, put up 183. I went with Anthony Richardson just naked. And then my correlation was Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, because even though I thought Boyd was a bad cash play, I mean, Boyd's going to be out there running all those routes. And I thought he has upside in tournaments just because of the ownership. So it was Jamar Chase and Boyd with a Marquise Brown bring back for the mini correlation there. And then DeMont, Laporta, and Reynolds as kind of the chalky Detroit team. And then
Reynolds scoring a touchdown from the 1 yard line is such tilt.
But I mean, this is what Reynolds does. Like Reynolds did exactly what I thought he was going to
no,
do.
No, I get it. I just like, I will fade if Reynolds was 3,300, I would have been rushing to play him, right?
For sure, but he wasn't. I was playing Khalif, and in tournaments, I was playing Reynolds.
That's
like,
right. Everyone wanted to play Khalif Raymond because he was way cheaper, and then people played Laporta, and people played DeMont. Like, Reynolds was a great tournament play.
Yeah. IMO. To me, it was, like, very clear-cut how
is
I
he
wanted
a, is
to
he a great tournament play at Detroit. 12% owned?
I think he's fine.
I mean, not that I know shit. I mean, I fell victim to player take bias and just loving, like, I just like Wandale Robinson, but at the percentages at which I played him, it was not good.
Yeah.
I mean, the challenge with Wandale is he was a good play, but he doesn't have a big ceiling. Like,
Wandale's not a tournament play for me at all. Like, Wandale is the type of guy who you're hoping he gets 8 targets. They're all going to be 3 or less a dot. And then you're hoping he breaks one. Like that's not a tournament play, where Josh Reynolds is the guy who's going to have like,
I literally wanted him to do what Reynolds did, which is score a touchdown in the 1 yard line.
But Reynolds gets is high value targets. Like he runs good routes. He gets targeted in the red zone near the end zone. He goes up and gets the ball and he has Jared Goff who's going to put it there. So like, it's a very different play than.
Yeah. He goes downfield, bro.
Yeah. Wandale's basically getting running back targets. I mean,
if you have a guy without a big ceiling and he's going to be owned, probably not a great tournament play. And I say this as somebody, I did have a sprinkling of Wandale. Like there, I did play a Daniel Jones and Wandale team. Like it was Daniel Jones, Wandale, and Waller. And I brought it back.
I did do one of those as well.
Yeah. Daniel Jones is ass though, is the thing. So it's a problem.
Man,
yeah, he's not good.
Yeah, he I don't know. And they also have like, you know, their offensive line, like I've seen bad offensive lines before, but I've never really seen anything like what the Giants have cooking. It's like they might as well just not even be there, honestly. It's like they hike the ball and then Daniel Jones just has a dude in his face. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean we haven't mentioned this at all, but the change from 14, 13, 12 game slates to 10 game slates gets real thin. The thing I noticed it the most was Jefferson and Reek were the only players above 9K. Then Cooper Kupp was the only guy above 8K, and that was it. That was it. There were four players above Bijan, right? Above 7,700.
I kind of like it when it gets a little bit tighter, when you don't have so many games to choose from. Like I like, you know, I don't really like the real small slates too much. I don't play a ton of showdown, but I kind of like it when there's not like that many options. You know, I think things get a little bit clearer.
No, it's no, because then yeah. we're very close to you know, train season, right? I mean,
I don't know, dude. Ja'Marr Chase was like 30% owned.
Yeah, but that was just a very clear public bias, right?
DFS is not dead.
Not dead.
Well, I don't
know. Live and kicking.
It's alive as long as people are going to keep playing, you know, tight ends like Irv Smith Jr. I might just be like, you know what, Davis, just play Kelce. You've gotten tight end wrong, like 80% of the time. So just like stop. Just do Travis Kelce. You know, Mark Andrews was 5,500 this week, and I didn't think about it once. Which probably he only got 11, I think, in the end. But
yeah,
he probably is a play. All right, you guys got anything else?
I don't last thing, what did you guys, I know some people played Kelce in cash and use that to kind of like guide them. What did you guys think of that?
Well, they played him instead of Ja'Marr Chase. So
yeah, I thought that was,
well, no, that's not true. That's not true on every team. There was a version of it that had Chase and Kelce with Hollywood Brown, but there was no Jefferson on that team, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And then no Bijan.
Yeah, I mean,
to me, the priorities this week was Chase, those running backs. If I could get Jefferson, I would have, but
yeah, but
it was Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, man. Alphas only. Just put the alphas in the lineup. Print.
You got lucky with Tyreek.
Yeah.
No, he. I mean, this is the thing, Nate, that we should realize is that Sammy just gets lucky on these absurd, weird, you know, Giants defense type shit. Like, that's just how his life. If the Giants defense got their expectation of 0 points, I don't think you do. You had 166, cash line was like 157.8, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, keep prioritizing DST instead of like alpha wide receivers.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying the reality that we live in is that you were never get punished. Like every time I do something that's like 3 degrees off optimal, I get just beaten over the head with it. Just like it's the
worst
possible
decision. Was that what Irv Smith was? Just 3 degrees.
3 degrees.
Off.
No, he was 180 degrees off optimal. But like the Kincaid thing in week two, where I end up losing a bunch of games by less than 2 points because people played Ertz and Ertz
over
scored Kincaid. Yeah, Ertz like barely outscored him or whatever. Like that would never happen to Sammy. It's just the way he lives. It just would never happen to him. It would only ever happen to me.
Just got to run good, man.
You just got to run good. All right, guys, we are going to get out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.